Well, guys, today we're going to be looking at our eighth message on rediscovering the church and our third metaphor of what the Bible uses as the church. Today's going to be a little different because we're going to use a metaphor, but we're really going to talk more about how it relates to us as individuals rather than as the church. So it is going to be a little different than that, but we're going to be looking at what I think is probably the most well-known, most quoted verse in the Bible or passage in the Bible. Who would want to guess what that is? What do you think is the most popular passage in the Bible? John 3:16. You know, I did this last night with two of my daughters. They were like, it was about their sixth choice before they got the one that I thought was number one. I thought John 3:16 was number two. So what else might be a very, very familiar verse? Yes. Psalms 23. There is the winner. We should have had her go first. No. Psalms 23, I think, is because every funeral you go to, it's very, very common. So that's what we're going to be looking at. It's written by King David. Most scholars think it was written towards the end of his life because in it he's talking about this deep faith and trust in his shepherd. And he's gone through a lot and he's kind of trusted him. So all through the Bible, though, and it's kind of like last or 2 weeks ago when I talked about the word family and brothers and sisters, and I said how the Bible talks about that a lot. And then how when I started just my own regular reading through the Bible after I taught that message, it seemed like everywhere I looked, the words brothers and sisters was all over. Well, now this week when I prepared the message, it seems like the word sheep or flock is all over. Old Testament, New Testament, God uses that to describe us as his people. So with that as an introduction, if you are comfortably able, then please stand. Carl Hoff is going to come up and read for us Psalms 23.
So I asked Will before I, when he told me or asked me to speak, if I could share a few words because why this verse is, or this scripture is very important to me, and he graciously accepted. So I guess what I want to share with you is this is one of the verses that each night Shailene and I would, when we put our kids to bed, we would pray with them, and then we tried to pick scriptures to help them memorize and learn. And this is one that we chose, and to make it fun, we made it interactive with them and made hand gestures, which I won't go through those with you tonight, today, but it was something that was memorable for our kids, and again, hiding God's word in your kid's heart is very, very important. So I would encourage each and every one of you young parents to take those opportunities to help impart that to them. So I taught at the King James Version, so the words might be slightly different when I say it. So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Carl. I know another fan of King James. Where's Mark? Presenting, you liked that, didn't you? Where's Mark at? Yeah, you loved reading out of that King James. I know he does. Well, guys, let me start by, I've told you that I'm trying to, not succeeding every week, but trying to leave you with one thing to take home, one thing that you remember. And the one thing I hope you're going to take home today is that the Psalms 23 is all about our great shepherd and his provision for us and his desire, his willingness to come and rescue us and be a shepherd to us. So that's my goal. I'm going to pray, and then we'll go through it just verse by verse and look at how it applies to us. Father, I do thank you so much that you are our shepherd, that you love us, that you want to lead us, guide us, protect us, provide everything we need. And Father, I pray we'll leave here today understanding that we are sheep in need of a shepherd and that you have provided yourself to be our shepherd. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Charles Spurgeon is an old guy, like hundreds of years old, but still considered one of the greatest preachers ever known and really very influential in many of us, because though you don't know it, most pastors will quote him sometime or another. He's a commentator, a lot of things to say. In the 1800s, he said this, "Blessed be the day when Psalms 23 was born." And I think the reason for that is because Psalms 23 is all about comfort and security. And I think we all know we live in a very... This over here, I try to look at you, but every time I do, it cuts out. So sorry, I'm just going to talk to these people over here. I don't know why it doesn't like you. But it is a very broken world. And I know even coming in here, we don't really show that brokenness every week. We just don't. But I know that there are marriages that are wrestling and struggling hard. There are families that are struggling hard. There are people with families that are struggling as far as just finances. There are people struggling with health, people with jobs. I mean, it's just a broken world. And Psalms 23, I think, is a gift to help us live through these broken times, this broken world. So with that, let's just go looking through. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I just want to start that it's very enlightening that all the way through Scripture, he talks about him as shepherd and us as sheep. But what's so interesting about him being the shepherd is, in those days, in ancient Israel history, and really all of ancient history, shepherds were one of the lowest professions you could have. How many of you know of a famous shepherd other than God himself? There just aren't any. I don't know if you put in the Bible, or not Bible, Google that guy, and you said, who is the most famous shepherd? If it didn't say God or Jesus, I don't think they'd come up with one. It's just not a very noble position. Think of Samuel when he's told to go and pick the next king for Israel. And he says, it's going to come out of the family of Jesse. So he goes to Jesse and he says, hey, where's all your sons? I'm going to pick a king out of them and I'm going to know which one it is. So he lines them up. He goes down. Nope, 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 not them. So he turns to Jesse, goes, do you have another son? And Jesse says, oh yeah, I do. But you know, he's the youngest and he's just a shepherd. He's out in the field taking care of the sheep. And then Samuel says, well, go ahead and bring him. And of course, anoints him because he was God's chosen. But in those days, the youngest child was always the shepherd because nobody else wanted to do it. So that's, I think, the first thing we need to understand is understand how willing our God is to humble himself for us. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross, to leave the realms of glory, to come and live among man, just like you and me. He faced every temptation you and I face. So he's very willing to do that in order to reach us and to take care of us. The other part, when it says, I shall not want, David Guziak's a new commentator that I kind of like. He's actually still alive, but I like some of the things he writes. And here's what he said about I shall not want. For David, the fact of God's shepherd-like care was the end of a dissatisfied need. He said, I shall not want, both as a declaration and as a decision. I shall not want means all my needs are supplied by the Lord my shepherd. I shall not want also means I decide to not desire more than what the Lord my shepherd gives. Is that not just incredible as far as he says, God, you'll provide all I need, and so I'm not going to long for things that you don't provide because I really don't need them. And I've learned a long time ago there's two ways to be content. One is to get more. The other is to want less. And I think David kind of learned, I'll just, whatever God gives me, I'll be content with that. Verse 2. And we're going to go through the verse, and again, we're going to come to some application at the end, so just bear with me through that. In green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. And again, just a brief implication or observation is that the word makes is that because sheep don't always know the right thing to do. So God is going to direct them, help them, lead them to do the right thing. We as sheep don't know, but we do know that he is our shepherd. And he's showing here that he is our shepherd. We need him, and he's a faithful shepherd. That's why he's going to make us lie down in the green pastures. He's going to lead us beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Restore, the word in Hebrew, refers to rescuing the lost one. So it kind of makes sense about the sheep. Sheep kind of wander. And so it's about him going and rescuing the lost sheep. Sheep cannot rescue themselves any more than we can. And that's what we sing every week about he's our rescuer. Jesus is our rescuer, and we couldn't rescue ourselves just like a sheep couldn't. So again, he's showing our need for a shepherd and him being our shepherd. He leads me is again showing the shepherd is our guide, that we can't figure it all out. And we'd be foolish to say, leave me alone, shepherd, I've got this. There's that commercial that says, I've got this, or we've got that. We'd be very foolish to say, I've got this, I don't need a shepherd. And this is just another place we're showing that he leads me. Today, I think we need to, through his Holy Spirit and his written word, he leads me. This guy's not leading me or guiding me at all today. I don't, Matt, it always works for you. I can't figure it out. I said it's the second service with Matt. Matt teaches, and it just works perfect for him. I think maybe I just warm it up. I'm not sure what the deal is. But this idea of leading, guys, we really do need to remember. Here's what God says in his word, that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Psalms 119:105. That's to lead us. It's to be our plumb line. It's to say, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, this is true, this is false. That's his word given to us, because we live in a world that's very confused about all those things. And he says, his word is to be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And Psalms 19:70 says, it is perfect and it restores the soul. It restores to us. Again, that idea of it rescuing the lost one. I read just yesterday, and it was a note that I actually wrote, but I guarantee I didn't come up with it, so I stole it from somebody. But just how that our daily time in the word is like a trickle charger that keeps us charged up all our life. Just every day, we need to take some of God's word in just to keep us, our souls restored, keep us thinking biblically, living distinctly, and loving like Jesus. And it comes just day after day as we allow him to lead us and guide us as his Holy Spirit enlightens his word to us. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And guys, I just a true confession, I guess, a testimony, confession, whatever you want, but I have learned and continue to relearn that the shepherd's presence does not eliminate the presence of evil. It doesn't. We live in a broken world. But I also know that his presence can give us the power over evil and the comfort that we need in the midst of evil. And I say I relearn because sometimes I forget that. But his presence does, he's with me even in the midst of the evil around me and the midst of temptations. And he wants to deliver me from that over the power of evil and the fear of evil if I'll look to him, his word, and trust in him. Verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So here he's declaring, not only is he a shepherd that protects us, but he's saying he'll provide our needs. I'll prepare a table for you. David was a man who had lots of enemies. Not really much of his own doing, but he did have a lot of enemies. And God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'll prepare a table for you. So he has the power to do that, but he also has the power to protect us in the middle of that. So he's providing the table in the midst of our enemies. He's going to protect us from the enemies. We don't need to worry about that. Our shepherd's presence and power, care, and concern do not eliminate the presence of our enemies, but give us the ability to experience the goodness of our shepherd and peace in the midst of them. Then the last verse, and then we'll move to some other things. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So David ends with two great, great, great pieces of news. One is that his mercies and his goodness is new every morning to us. And some of us, the older we get, we realize, yeah, I need his mercies every day. It's not like I can find, I've got this, I don't need you. No, I need his mercies every morning, every day. And also the great recognition, great assurance, great promise that us who recognize Jesus as being our shepherd and trust him, then we have a promise of eternal life, his promise of his presence, care, and love forever. The best really is yet to come for all of us who have trusted him. Now, the question from us, Comforting Song, is he our personal shepherd? Spurgeon again said this, before a man can truly say the Lord is my shepherd, he must first feel himself to be a sheep by nature. Now, I don't think many of us, you know, when we want to describe our identity or description, well, I'm just a woolly sheep. I mean, we don't say that. We like to say, I'm a strong man, or I'm a sensitive man, or I'm a kind man, or something. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm God's child, not I'm a woolly sheep. But to help us understand that we really are a lot like sheep, and help us understand we really do need a shepherd, I talked to Dr. Ashenbrenner. Molly, where I saw him at, where's right back there. Dr. Ashenbrenner is the most knowledgeable person I know in the world on sheep. You don't know her. She's a professor at Chico State. in the whole ag education world, and she kind of has to know all the realms of it, but I know she also has sheep on her property. So I've asked her, what are some characteristics of sheep? And I'm going to give you what she said. I'm going to give you six of them. She actually gave me 12, but if I gave you all 12, we'd have no meat in the middle hour. You would go home hungry, and then you wouldn't be happy. So we're going to just look at these six, try to see why does God refer to us as sheep, and whether we will agree with him that we are sheep, okay? Number one, I'm Dr. Ashenbrenner. Sheep need a shepherd if they want to survive. It is the shepherd who provides food and protects them. Now, you know, there's some animals like coyotes. They don't really have a shepherd. They eat our chickens, right, and your goats and stuff. I mean, they will survive. They'll make it. A sheep, if you just got a sheep and just turned him loose and said, go get your food, he's not going to make it. They need a shepherd. Number two, sheep are social. They need other sheep. Otherwise, they will go crazy or die prematurely if alone. Guys, do you want to go crazy or die prematurely? No. We need, and God's design is we need one another. All the one another's of Scripture. He knew, and so he's saying, yeah, you're like sheep in that way too. They can't live alone. Number three, one that was, I thought, interesting. Sheep are born to die. They are susceptible to many diseases and require constant management. And that actually didn't come from Molly. It came from her grandpa, who was a sheep herder in the Depression. So maybe if you Googled famous sheep herders, you'll come up with her dad, grandpa. I don't know. But I don't think any famous sheep herders are out there. But that's, they're born to die. They have a lot of issues that they're going to need to be taken care of, or they're going to die prematurely. Number four, for sheep, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Now, I know, again, that's not really true of you people, but it's true of some of us where I think, if only, as opposed to saying, I have all I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Number five, I guess I only gave a five. Number five, lambs get lost when on their own. That's just something that's going to happen. Now, who knows the difference in a lamb and a sheep? I had to look this up because I'll tell you what I thought, but Ashenbrenners can't ask. Lamb and a sheep, the difference is what? Babies. I thought it was just they were maybe the females or the males, but they really can be male or female. It's just they're up to 1 year old. They're called a lamb. And so, but the idea is that lambs will just get lost. And I think, again, I just think of my own life and think before Christ came and invaded my life and before his Holy Spirit filled me and gave me the word to be a guide, I just was lost wondering, where is life to be found? And I think many people look for different places, but they don't really find true life until they find Christ. I want to close with reading for us two verses. One of them, the second most known verse. But I'm going to start with reading this one, Isaiah 53:6, which says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Each of us have kind of said, I've got this. And that's a problem because he wants to be our shepherd, but he is not going to make you be his shepherd, your shepherd. He's going to enlighten you that he's a good shepherd. He's going to enlighten you you need a shepherd. But he says, we're all like the sheep. We've all gone our own way. And then here's the second verse, which I think is the second most popular. You guys say it's the most popular. My children thought it was the most popular. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he's saying, sheep, all you have to do is believe in me. And all those things we talked about, the sheep and how they were really not that good, I will take care of all those things. I won't let you stray. I will give you, I'll lead you, I'll guide you, I'll protect you. I'll be goodness every day. I'll provide for you. He's that kind of shepherd. And so my encouragement today is, guys, each one of us will really, really just ask ourselves, could we be like David and say, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, because I trust him. I believe he'll provide my needs. He'll protect me from my enemies. I believe he'll do all that he promises to do. So again, closing with the one thing I hope to communicate is that Psalms 23 is about God's provision of us, a great shepherd who we desperately need. And I hope all of us during this busy season will just realize we don't want to be saying, I've got this, but we'll be saying, I need you, and bow our knees and let him guide us daily through his word, through his spirit, and through his people. He'll use all of those. Let me pray. Father, again, I thank you that you give us your word, your spirit, and Father, most of all, that you gave us your son to prove, to demonstrate your love for us. And Father, I pray that today each one of us, every one of us, would understand, maybe freshly, that we are like sheep and we have gone astray, each to our own way. And Father, I pray that if we've never, ever bowed our knee to trust in Jesus and put our trust and belief in him, that that would happen today, that we'd realize we do need a shepherd and we do need to be turned from our own way to your way, that we might have eternal and everlasting life and won't be like a sheep who is lost and doomed to die. Thank you again for what you've done to provide life for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.